By the time we reached Prospect Park, I'd come to terms with the fact my insides had mutated into magic grow capsules and were expanding into a colorful, spongy zoo. "It's the mushrooms," I thought to myself. "It isn't real." "What did you say?" Raymond turned to me with a toothy, dopey smile. The sun washed over his face in a glistening copper glow. I wondered for a moment if he could hear my thoughts, but then I realized I was just extraordinarily high. My gaze fell into the rounds of his cheeks, shiny and tight like the flesh of a plum. The blue in his eyes were all pupil, all rabbit hole. This was when I decided it was best to stop making eye contact with Raymond. Taking mushrooms with anyone is a series of psychic trust falls. Stay light, keep moving, don't look at your hands. For the love of God, never make eye contact. I didn't know Raymond well, or at all, really, but I knew I just entered into a magical agreement with him, one of which I was bound for the next few hours. There was no way to back out. There was only the forward motion of falling face first. After some time lost wandering, we lie down in a clearing beside the Prospect Park carousel and listen to a bombastic rendition of Scott Joplin's Kismet Rag played on a loop. I sat up and took it all in. The sun beating down on the tops of our heads. The technicolor grass. 30-something men wrestling with umbrella strollers. Our creamy white legs outstretched side by side like piano keys. We stayed there for a while, until suddenly we became aware of our staying, at which point one of us suggested we spontaneously leave. We took long city strides out of the park, headed north past the neoclassic columns of the Brooklyn Museum, up Flatbush Avenue, under the arch of Grand Army Plaza. Raymond narrated with topical facts about the Revolutionary War. My brain blew gently in the wind. "This is my natural state," I thought. "This is who I am. A psychedelic separatist, an unbiased daughter of the revolution, roaming freely on the weakened streets of Brooklyn." We hung a left on Atlantic Avenue and weaved west through the neighborhood grid of Borum Hill, then north into the Heights. It was all coffee shops, children, or churches, and Raymond was an overzealous tour guide, pointing out every steeple along the way. "They call this the Borough of Churches," he said. Indeed, it was our weird place of worship, and the cacophonous sounds of the city our sacred hymn. A reggaeton beat bounced out of a parked gypsy cab and landed in my ear. I heard the cabbie greet someone. "Hi there." I let out a small gasp. For a moment, I was convinced that Peter Gabriel drove a gypsy cab in South Brooklyn. It was a monumental breakthrough. I felt validated on an otherworldly, almost cosmic level. I even had the sudden urge to bow my head, to genuflect, pray to a big god, and kneel in a big church. But our pace allowed for none of that. We had to keep moving and exploring, pushing toward the edge of Brooklyn, all the while secretly hoping for another celestial sign from Peter. When I tightened my jaw, I heard the echoey sounds of "Hi there" again, this time louder and on a maniacal loop inside my head. "Hi there, hi there, hi there," rattling around like a pinball behind my eyes. This continued for at least 2 blocks until, by fate, I saw the gypsy cab again outside a basement cafe on Montague Street. The thing nearly ran me over before speeding off into the hazy neon horizon line of the East River. The cabbie silhouette looked like an impressionistic Bob Dylan, all wayfarer and wild curl, pulled from the cover of Blood on the Tracks. "Thanks a lot, dickhead." Raymond threw his arms up at the vanishing cab. "Huh, that is not Peter Gabriel," I said with the same timbre of a Maury Povich paternity result.